We're going to talk about faith. What is faith? Can I tell you the thing that required the most faith for me was moving to Ohio? We were plugged into a great church. Family is there. Kids are in a private school. They're both starting on sports teams. They're both athletic. And it becomes clear to us that God wants us to come here. And I remember calling my father-in-law from the Hampton Inn down here at 77 and US 36 and explaining to him that I've been exploring the area around the church, the dirt roads around the church. And I kind of said that, like, again, like the dirt roads around the church, because that's what's there. This is a church in the middle of nowhere. And I was kind of hoping in the process of this, they'd be like, wow, you know what? That is just too remote. Can I just confess my own pride and my concept of my self-worth? Like, that he would say something like, you're more valuable than to go to a place like that. Or something. Okay, I'm just being transparent with you. Like, don't throw your life away. Let's find you a church in New York City or Los Angeles or something. You can go plant a church in one of those places. Let's go do something that will really reach the world for Jesus. Because after all, that's what it's about. But you know what he said? He said, that sounds great. I'm like, I've been exploring the area around the church, the dirt roads. Did you hear that? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's that's where it is. And there's people there, and they need Jesus. And you know what? I'm so glad that I did. I followed his godly counsel and the other godly counsel that I got from other pastors, because when you're trying to make a decision, you shouldn't only pray in isolation and read the Bible in isolation. You should get godly counsel. And I'm so glad I followed that counsel. You know why? Because I took the step of faith to come here. We've had 500 people at our wild game dinner for the last however many years running. So many people have trusted Christ here. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people have trusted Christ. Jesus died for people who live on dirt roads. I'm glad, because I do live on a dirt road. I was born on a cabin that was right beside a dirt road. Didn't have running water or electricity. It was an act of faith for my parents to do what they did and put us in a camper bus and get us out of corrupt Southern California and get us to remote Arkansas. But it was a step of faith for me to go from remote Arkansas to Dayspring Bible College. It was a pretty big step of faith. But the biggest step of faith I've ever taken was coming here. Because I thought, here's what I was afraid of. I was afraid that I was going to ruin my life, that I was going to go somewhere that was a dead end. In fact, one of the members of the church asked me, why did you come here? This is the end of the line. I'm like, and I wanted to say, then why do you attend if it's the end of the line? What's wrong with you? Don't ask me what's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? And he got offended over something and left, because when you teach the Word of God, people tend to get offended. And that always makes me sad. It feels like somebody chopped off my arm every time somebody that's plugged into the church decides, oh, it's not for me. I'd really, truly rather somebody chopped off my arm than have somebody walk away because they just got their nose out of joint because of their pride. It makes me so sad. But we came to this place that was, in his mind, the end of the line, and that's what I was worried about, too. So when he said it, I was like, oh, no, somebody else sees it, too? God in his mercy has blessed, and we have had nonstop ministry for years, and it's been wonderful. And you know the most wonderful part about it for me? Is I did it because I believe God wanted me to do it. Because it's not my life, it's not about me, as Victoria said. It's about God and others. And God knew there were people in this area that needed the truth of His Word and that would listen and that would faithfully do what the Word of God says. And I'm so excited about the future of our church. Because there's people that are doing what the Word of God says and they're setting their alarm for, I'm not sure if it's 4 a.m. or O-Dark 30 or whatever, but they're coming in and opening the preschool. We're providing 55 hours of world-class child care, and we're teaching these kids about Jesus. You know what I'm so excited about in the future? Is that as God blesses us as we go forward and continue to minister, and it's possible this building thing won't work, but I think it will. I'm praying it will. Because we're out of space. And it'd be a great location. There's so many things I love about it. And of course, you see the picture of the building back here. I'm 5 times the square footage. I'm thinking about making it a little bit bigger on the left side to actually put a gymnasium in that side. The auditorium would double as a gymnasium. Since you guys are so good at stacking chairs, that's the only downside for me. I wish that wouldn't have to be. I wish you wouldn't have to stack chairs anymore, but I don't know how else to do it in a cost-effective way. It'll increase the cost to do it that way. But I believe it'd be worth it to have a gym. So, biggest act of faith that I ever took was taking the step of coming here. I was desperately afraid that I was going to ruin my children. I was afraid that my kids would see that, oh man, Dad went to this dead-end place, and now we don't have any friends, and now we're not on a sports team, and now Dad not only ruined his life, but he ruined our lives. Can I tell you the reason that both of our kids, by the grace of God, are serving God today is because I took the step of obedience. It didn't make sense to these eyes. This is the middle of nowhere, Lord. I hope you know what you're doing with your life, because my life doesn't belong to me. I hope you know what you're doing with your life, because it looks to me like you're throwing it away. God doesn't ever throw anything away. You know why I believe my kids are serving the Lord is because I took that step of faith and I did what He asked me to do. And the kids got a heart for ministry. So instead of being in a big church where so many things were provided for them and they were just on top of the world in so many ways in this wonderful bubble of happiness, they had to get pulled out of the bubble of happiness. They had to get connected to the Lord as their source of happiness, and they developed a heart for ministry. When they had a bad attitude, I'd pull them out of their class and take them knocking on doors, inviting people to church, and they saw how people in the real world live, in the rest of the world, not just affluent Northwest white-collar Chicago where you have everything. They saw kids without shoes. They saw pregnant girls that were 15 years old that were on drugs, and it started breaking their heart. And God started using those things to shift their mindset to be, I'm not here for me, I'm here for other people. My life is at God's disposal. I'm going to do what He says, and whatever He says, the results are up to Him. And if He wants to throw away my life, that's His prerogative because it's His life. Amen? And they now have that mindset. And I wouldn't be surprised if my kids wind up on the mission field or they're in full-time ministry right now and they're walking with the Lord doing what He asked them to do. So what is faith? And how does faith apply to you? I'll say this. Faith is when your son calls you on a Friday night and says, Dad, can you go find a dog for the girls and bring it with you in the car tomorrow? Sure. I mean, when I asked my kids to take out the trash, I didn't see them do it at that moment, but because I said it, I believed it would happen. And it did happen. So I didn't see a puppy at that moment, but he asked for it to happen, so we made it happen. So I believe that door is about to open and a dog is about to come through that door, because this is Cole. And Cole is the newest member of our son's family. Thank you so much. I'll give him back to you in a minute. Okay. This is Cole. They're going to probably name him Frank is their plan. So we'll call him Cole until the girls actually decide. This is Frank. How you doing there, buddy? Yeah. We've bonded. And I've decided that it's cheaper than therapy to have a dog. It's pretty great. Julie really, really wants one. I don't want the trouble of taking care of it. And the cost of shots, and then we travel a fair amount. We're not home, so that I don't want to burden other people with having a dog. But I suspect that me saying this and bringing a puppy on the platform, all of you are going to conspire against me. I suspect. I'm expecting it. Hoping not, but expecting it probably will happen. And all of you will say, well, we'll take the dog anytime. He's so little and so cute. He can always stay with us. It's not a problem. No problem at all. And Julie will probably get her way. She's wanted that for a long time. But this dog became a reality because of a word that was spoken over a telephone. What is faith? I mean, here's the dog. The dog was just an idea yesterday. But now here's the dog. What is faith? Let's talk about it today. Thank you so much, Heidi. He's going to go all the way to Illinois with us today and the girls are going to meet him tonight. They don't know. Don't spoil it. The girls don't know. So don't spoil it. What does faith look like in your life? If God says he wants you to get a dog, do you get one? Well, maybe that's not a great example, but maybe if God tells you to move to another state, do you do it? Maybe if God tells you to switch jobs, do you do it? Maybe if God tells you how to raise your kids, do you do it? Well, but with eyes of physical eyes, I just don't see that being a good idea. Can I tell you that with physical eyes, it did not look like a good idea to come here? And I'm so glad I did. What is it in your life that God is asking you to do? He's so gentle. He's so kind. But he's always right. So if I promise you in every one of your hearts, God is convicting each one of you of something to do. He's so gentle, though. He doesn't make you do it. The Holy Spirit is like a dove. He convicts you. This is a change that you need to make. For every one of you, it's something different. But I can promise you that in the Christian life, if you don't take that step, that you will stay stuck on that step until you take it. And so you can go slow in the Christian life, or you can go fast, and the choice is up to you. The choice is whether you take the steps of faith that God is asking you to take, or whether you resist. If you resist, God is patient, he's kind, he's loving. He'll let you stagnate on the step you're too stubborn to take for as long as you want to stagnate there. But I believe it grieves his heart, because God expects and he deserves to be obeyed when he says something. Jamie said, "Can you get a dog?" We said, "Sure." And we went and got an hour later, we had a dog. If God says something to you, an hour is probably too long to wait to do it. And I promise you, in your life and in my life, God is always telling us, do this or do that, because it's going to work out better if you do it the way I say it rather than the way you think it. And yet, knowing that, we all know that, but this week, probably all of us are going to tell God, no, thank you. I'd rather do it my way. It's more comfortable. I see how my way works, and I don't see how your way works. What is faith? Fortunately, God has told us what faith is. Isaiah had a great question. Where did you go? Isaiah, would you like to go to my office and see the puppy right now with your mama? Would you like to, and then come right back? Would you like that? It's totally up to you, but I figured that might be one more way to make another kid happy. Before we talk about faith for another 3 weeks, let's define it. And let's let God define it, because fortunately for you and me, God defines everything that we need to know right here in the Word of God. He defines it. So I don't have to define it for you. God defined it. And I'd much rather, I think you would too, rather hear what God has to say rather than what some guy has to say. So God literally defined faith. Pretty crazy awesome. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If faith is so important, what is it? What is faith? Hebrews, it's after 2 Timothy. It's about two-thirds of the way through the New Testament. I'm not putting verses on the wall anymore because I want you to have your Bible and your notebook, and I want you to be digging into the Word of God and know your way around finding different books and different things. Right after 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, chapter 11. So you find the beginning of Hebrews, keep going to the right until it says chapter 11. The very first verse of Hebrews chapter 11 is our text verse today, as we let God answer what is faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Awesome. Okay, I'm excited because we're now finally, God has entered the conversation, and he's telling us what we need to hear. Now, faith is the substance. The word means foundation. The strong, solid foundation. Now, faith is the Substance is the foundation. It's faith is seeing with your spiritual eyes what your physical eyes can't see. But it's solid. It's not ethereal and wavy. You know how sometimes in a movie they make a, like if you're dizzy or they kind of make this like hazy memory and it's kind of like, I don't really, can't quite, it looks like a mirage. I can sort of see it and sort of can't. That's not what faith is. Faith is solid. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. And the word evidence means enough evidence to convict. So if it's overwhelming evidence in court, it's like there's just no other way to look at it. It's just all the evidence points in one direction, and that's exactly what it is. God knows the end from the beginning. We don't. Who would you rather have drive? Somebody that knows where they're going or someone who doesn't? Julie doesn't think I know where I'm going sometimes, and sometimes she's right. But I would rather have the person in the driver's seat actually know where we're going and be a good driver. Julie hates it when I drive slow on the dirt road. When I get the good car out, I go real slow. Drives her crazy. She feels like she's going to die on the road because her life is going to end. Because it takes me about 5 minutes to go about a half mile. And she's like, this is nuts. Like, honey, I'm the one that does all the maintenance on the cars. I can just tell you, there are some struts down there that like me a lot. And I'm going to take care of them. And when I get out on the road, I'm going to go fast on the highway to make up for going slow in the dirt. And I do. In fact, I almost passed her on County Road 10 today. There was another car up ahead, so I decided not to. But just to kind of show her that, see, I actually do make it to church ahead of you. Because I let her pass me on the dirt road. Because she was in the other car, and I'm taking one car to Illinois. And she's got to have a way to get home, so we took two cars. So I let her pass me on the dirt road because she was impatient, and I get it. But I wanted to show off, like, see, when I tell you I get to church ahead of you, I really mean it. But I decided she had the little dog, and she's driving along, and she wasn't quite over on totally on her side, and I thought it might spook her, and then another car was coming, so I didn't do it. This life is more treacherous than County Road 10. You need the best person giving guidance. Pro tip, you're not the best person. If God says, this is the way to do it, trust me, it's a settled issue, that's the way to do it. I don't care what your physical eyes see. I don't care what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what you think is best. What matters is what God said, because faith is believing God. Next week, when we talk about how God feels about the lack of faith, I think it's going to kind of blow your mind. It's kind of blowing my mind studying what God thinks about the lack of faith. If you're going to miss a Sunday, miss this one. God wants you to believe Him when He says something. And it is the only logical thing to do. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. It's a logical step in the light. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. For years, I thought that's what it was. It doesn't make any sense to me. It actually is like counterintuitive. It doesn't even make sense at all. But okay, fine, you jump. It's not that at all. It's the only logical thing. When you realize that the one who wrote this book only has one author, written by 40 people over a 1,600-year period, has one author. The God who made the universe with a word knows the end from the beginning. He's the great I Am. He's the one who was and who is to come. He's the one that created all things, upholds all things by the word of His power, and is the soon coming King. He's in charge. I'm not worried about the White House or the Supreme Court. I am comfortable that the one who wrote this book holds me in the palm of His hands. And if I do what He says, and I operate according to His direction, with confidence that it is on a sure foundation, it is the substance of things hoped for. I'm going to be okay. And you are too. Even if it costs me my life, I don't care. My life doesn't matter. Doing what His Word says matters. Because His Word is solid. In a world of uncertainty, this book has all the answers. All of them. Faith. What is it? It's believing God. And it's solid. When God, by His mercy, allows us to build this building in Coshocton, Ohio, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to build it on topsoil. Somebody tell me why. Why? It'll sink. Somebody say it would sink? Yeah. If you're going to spend that much money and build that beautiful of a building, you don't want it falling over. We're going to build it on rock solid concrete. We're going to do a soil study to see how wide the footers need to be. We're going to do a soil study to see how deep the footers need to be. And before we put all those heavy steel beams, which, by the way, a building like that actually isn't that heavy. The steel feels heavy because it kind of is. But compared to traditional construction, that's a pretty light building. So engineering-wise, it's not that heavy on the surface of the dirt, but you're going to have, we have to dig down, get rid of the topsoil, dig down to solid ground and put hard concrete exactly as the engineers and the builders say we should, right? But it's a solid foundation. When we get in the car later today, we're going to go build a building on a solid foundation. Very excited. After we deliver a puppy, first things first. You know, Jamie knows he can trust me to deliver the puppy because we have a rapport of trust. If I don't lose it at a rest area, which is a concern for me because he doesn't have a leash, I just hope the little dude doesn't like wander 10 feet into somewhere then a little car comes by. So just pray for Cole today. He's with three guys, and three guys aren't necessarily the most nurturing group of humans on the planet, although I will do my best. But I think I'll succeed. And Jamie is confident that when he asks me to do something and I agree to do it, it'll happen. When God asks you to believe that what He says is rock solid and overwhelming evidence enough to convict, you're like, okay. No big discussion, no wondering, no God like doing this with His thumbs in heaven, like, I don't know if they're going to do it. I'm worried. I'm just wringing His hands. I don't know if they're going to do it. It should be as simple as a father and a son that are close agreeing to do something for the other one and then doing it. That's how it should be. Guess what? You are your Father's child. And He loves you. And He deserves for you to take Him at His word and accept the overwhelming evidence, the rock solid truth that what God says is final, regardless of what the circumstances look like. You're going to be judged by this book. Do you know, if you're involved in a court case, do you know what a huge advantage it would be to have the transcript ahead of time? You know what you have? You have the transcript ahead of time. You will be judged by this book. The moment you trusted Christ, all your sins were paid for on the cross, covered by the blood of Christ. You're saved forever. There's a difference between salvation and service. Faith is trusting that Christ died for your sins and rose again. Now you're saved forever. Congratulations. Now what are you going to do? Because now let's talk about you. Because there's no question about whether God's word is true. The question is whether you consider the overwhelming evidence and the rock solid truth to be sufficient to live your life based on it. It grieves me to tell you that most Christians don't. And most of the people in the world look at most Christians and say, man, if that's all there is to it, I'm just not doing it. And you know what? I don't blame them. I wouldn't take... If their life was the example of what a godly person living by faith is, I want nothing to do with it for most Christians. It's sad to say, but it's true. God is calling you to be a distinct person who takes him at his word and does what he says, and the world will look at you and say, wow, whatever they have, it's different. And when something happens in their life, God can use you as an example of how they should respond or react or decide. Because you've been walking by faith, and the people around you, even the Christians around you, haven't. You be the person that walks by faith. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, there's two places you can build your life, didn't he? He said you can build on a foundation. You can build on sand. You can build on something that is wobbly if you want to. I can't have sand on the platform, so this is the closest thing I can come up with. Like this wobbly little table, it's going to have to suffice. So a lot of Christians, they trust that Christ died for their sins and rose again. And then they start building on this. And the smart Christians go on the rock-solid foundation and start building. The kids in our preschool love these. Julie warned me, don't break them. The kids love them. And they do love them. You have an opportunity with faith to build on the proper foundation. What is the proper foundation to build your life on? The Word of God. Whatever the world says, whatever culture, wherever the winds of culture blow, you're like, that's nice, but that's not for me. I am going to build on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to keep building until Jesus comes. I'm going to take whatever Jesus says, and I'm going to build. I'm going to build right there, and that's it. Or you can be foolish, and you can say, well, you know what? There's the option of taking the overwhelming evidence and the solid foundation. I could do that. I mean, I could. But it's so much more convenient. I make more money this way. It's more safe this way. It's what everybody else is doing. I feel better. The peer pressure is kind of pulling on me, and I kind of want to do what the other kids in the public school are doing. And so I'm going to kind of go down the hall and do that with them, or I'm going to sneak out back and do that with them, or I'm going to do this on the internet instead of what I should be doing, or I'm going to lie to my parents, or I'm not going to stay in my devotions. I'm not going to come out on Friday afternoon to help out set up for RU. I'm not doing that because it's just I got priorities. You don't understand my life. I got priorities. I'm just going to build over here doing what I want. And you can build doing what you want, and it can look great for years. In fact, you can build taller and higher and more than the people who are over there building on the solid foundation of God's Word. You can build, you can just be like, man, I am awesome. Just ask me. And I am doing great. I even have a window and nobody else does. I'm so cool. And I am just the bee's knees. I'm all that in a bag of chips. And I have got it going on. And if you need advice, come see me. You don't need the church. You don't need the Word of God. I gave somebody a tract yesterday at a gas station. I said I was the pastor of a church. Lady said, oh, I'm not coming to church. Okay, no problem. Didn't even want the little card I gave her. That's okay. You can do it how you want to because you think you know how to do it better than anybody else. And you are so great. And you don't need other people's advice. And you had a pastor that hurt you one time. And you have all these reasons why the way you're doing it is better than the way God said to do it. And it can look great. And look greater by the day. And some of us who are building on the solid foundation can look at this and think, man, why am I doing it this way? It doesn't seem to be as good. It's not as tall. It's not as cool. It's not as colorful. I don't have any windows in mine. But they do. And you can build, and you can build, and you can build until one day the winds blow and the rains come and it all falls down. And the people who built their lives on God's Word are solid because they were walking by faith. Because they took what God said to heart and said, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care how impressive it looks. I'm going to do it how God said. I'm going to prioritize hearing His Word. I'm going to prioritize reading His Word. I'm going to prioritize obeying His Word. When there's an opportunity to serve at the church, I'm going to be there. If the doors are open, I'm coming. I realize all of you can't, but unless it's a physical impossibility, the smart people are learning as much of God's Word as they can, and they're incorporating it into every decision, whether it looks logical to other humans or yourself or not. So what can we as a church do if we all build with the right materials on the right foundation? Because can I tell you, even if you have the right foundation, you can build the wrong materials on the right foundation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 15, that you have a choice of building materials. I called Jamie last night. He was headed to Menards to pick up some more stuff. He's doing a big basement remodel. Seems like every time I go there, I'm helping him remodel something. This time I'm going to Illinois to help somebody else build something from scratch. We're going to build that. Different logo on it. Same building. Pretty excited. I'm excited because you know why? With this building, we're building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And it's going to help. So many thousands of people are going to trust Christ because of that building. Because of our blood, sweat, and tears that we shed this week. People are going to trust Christ. I'm walking by faith. It doesn't look logical. You know what doesn't look logical? It doesn't look logical to leave my wife with a staff that's already stretched and take some of the best people away. That doesn't look logical. But by faith, it's the right thing to do, and we're going to do it. And I don't regret it. We're going to stretch ourselves. We're going to stretch ourselves beyond what seems humanly possible because we're going to do it based on what God says is important. And it's a solid foundation that we're building on. And the evidence that it's true is so overwhelming that it can't be any more overwhelming. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence is in. The jury is in. The verdict has been rendered. What God says is true. He deserves to be believed. He deserves to have you as a believer who's saved by grace through faith plus nothing decide to serve Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. With no reservation. Leave it all on the field. He deserves that. He's entitled to that. And if you hold it back from Him, you're going to pay because you're depriving God of glory that He deserves. I'm not saying that as a threat that you're going to pay. I'm saying you're going to, when you stand before Him, you're going to suffer a loss of rewards because if you build on the right foundation and you choose as a Christian to build with faulty materials of wood, hay, and stubble, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, your works will be tested by fire. And you might say, well, hopefully the water from the building that fell down will keep me from getting set on fire. Wouldn't count on it. I got a little wet from it. Wouldn't count on it. Now, I'm not going to actually hurt these tiles because Julie warned me. I think none of them broke, which is good. But whatever you build on the right foundation is going to be tested by fire. And only the things that are made of gold, silver, and precious stones will last. And so you can say, well, I'm saved. I can do whatever I want. And in a way, you kind of can. You can choose to build with faulty materials. You can go to not Menards. You can go to the wrong place and get the wrong material and build with wimpy stuff. And when you get to heaven, you're going to find that you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. But you're going to find that all of your works are going to be tested by fire. And only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's built on the right foundation with the right materials will withstand the fire. You know it's true. I know it's true. So what if all of us lived our lives like it was true this week? What if for the next 5 years, we all lived our life like it was true? What if God allows us 5 years from now to be in that building on US 36 and it's paid for and there's five times as many of us meeting because a whole bunch of people trusted Christ because we lived by faith? And they saw it and decided, well, that's actually worth believing. A God who sent His Son to die for us, saves us by His grace, apart from our works. And I too think I'll sign up for this thing of getting the right materials on the right foundation. I'll walk by faith. Because it's solid. And the evidence is in. What is faith? It's believing that what God says is true. And living your life like it's true. most Christians are practicing atheists. They know they're saved by grace, but they're living like God's not real. My father-in-law would often say, if God can save your soul, he can give you a hamburger. God can meet the need, the financial needs for building that building. I sure can't. You probably can't. He can. We're going to keep doing what he says. If we have to minister, and not have to, if we get to minister in this location, in the middle of nowhere, till the rapture, that's just fine. But I believe he's going to open up the doors for that to do. But it'll go a lot smoother if all of us are doing exactly what this looks like. Building with the right materials. Faith is building with the right materials on the right foundation.